this gets back to the technical aspects of, hey, actually, Gmail and G Suite is totally set up object-wise like a CRM. They just need to connect the dots between these things. They need to say, hey, when you create a HubSpot list, that list is immediately available in your G Suite Gmail. And when you type Reforge Spring 24, it pops up with all the people from that list.
Right. Welcome to this week's episode of Unsolicited Feedback. I'm your host, Fareed Mosabat. And this week, I am joined by Penelope Talbot Kelly, who is a GM at DoorDash. And for our first part of this week's episode, we had Austin Hay join us as a special guest. You may remember Austin from a couple of months ago, where we dug into the Clearbit and HubSpot acquisition. We heard some rumors this week that Google is in talks to possibly acquire HubSpot. And so we thought there was no one better than Austin to dive in for a part two to his M&A conversation about Clearbit to talk about what opportunities there might be if Google buys HubSpot. Personally, I started off a little bit skeptical, but based on the conversation with Austin, my mind was changed and we came up with a bunch of different ways in which this could be a really awesome and interesting mega merger, especially for people building in the SMB space or building small businesses. We'll dive right in.
Yeah, I'm really pumped about this podcast today. I get excited when we shit on HubSpot.
Yeah, I'm excited too, because I'll be honest, Austin, so Austin Hay is here with us for the first hour today because there was some interesting news last week, or at least rumors floating that Google was in talks to buy HubSpot, which would be massive, right? And I'm going to just kick it off. I don't get it. I don't understand why Google would do it. I don't understand why HubSpot would do it. I don't understand how it fits together. And some of that might just be because I'm not smart enough. Oh, Austin, man, who dug into the Clearbit HubSpot acquisition, which did make a lot of sense to me at the time, offered to come in and talk about it a little bit. And I would love to hear your quick take on it.
Oh, man. First of all, thanks for having me, Fareed. And great to meet you, Penelope. I'm very excited about it. One, because I think it represents a really interesting opportunity for the CRM business. And also, it could mean both a good thing for Google, while the same thing, a good thing for all the other players in the space who are trying to build next generation CRMs and opportunities around the CRM to help sales and marketing be more productive. I thought about three things before we talked today. One was, what are the core benefits of it? What are the things that could go wrong or are going to really maybe slow this down or make it not productive? And then what are like the interesting technical aspects of this that maybe play into the core benefits, but like people should understand to really get excited about it. So just off the top though, I think it makes a ton of sense when you consider the Google Workspace business, GCP, and Google Ads. Everybody's saying, oh, this is just a competitive play against Dynamics and Outlook, which is fair. That's one take on it. The bigger thing I think though is the opportunity to expand Google Ads and connect that with their Google Workspace opportunity. So there was a good podcast, it was called All In. And they were effectively talking about how, look, Google Ads is a $250 billion business and has 1.2 million businesses on their platform. HubSpot, by comparison, only has 200,000. So you can imagine there's not, even if there's complete overlap, if you get 5% of that, you're adding another 50,000 to 100,000, like a quarter or a half of HubSpot's revenue just from the acquisition, if you can pull some of those Google Ad businesses and get them set up on HubSpot. So that's one interesting take on it. The second thing that's interesting is what happens when you consider when somebody goes buys Google Ads and they buy search ads, those people click on links and go to your website. And today it's a very disjointed experience. You have all your ads data in one platform, but then you're buying tools and technology to get those leads into your CRM so you can nurture and engage them. So imagine what would happen actually if all that attribution just lived in your CRM. You can eliminate a piece of software, like maybe get rid of Google Ads or Google Analytics entirely and just do the ad attribution inside HubSpot's analytics tech. And now you can start to think of like how Google might be thinking about the next generation of nurturing leads. Imagine you pay for ads and those leads go into your CRM and your salesperson gets notified in Gmail. You're already on G Suite anyways, right? So I think when you then consider Google Ads and Google Workspace being combined with HubSpot and serving the complete Google Ads business where you're paying for ads, those people are coming into your CRM, you're nurturing and growing them with Gmail. Now you can start to see how G Suite is like a really powerful tool. And I'll talk a little bit about like the technical architecture here, because me and my co-founder, Patrick and Andre, are spending a lot of time thinking about the core objects of the CRM. But if you think about it from that perspective, Google Ads is a super powerful business. It's the most important piece of Google's business. Adding a CRM will encourage and enhance that. And the last piece, which, you know, obviously everybody's talking about, is intelligence. So like we talked last time about the acquisition of Clearbit. So one, there's just a ton of data there, which they can feed into a huge variety of Google services. More importantly, though, imagine like every time you go into Gmail, when you click on somebody, you don't just get their photo, which Google is providing if there's a Gmail account, but you're actually getting like a huge data set about the user, everything you need right from Gmail. That's the dream, right? Everybody has to go into Salesforce or HubSpot to find more information. Superhuman is doing this now natively with Clearbit. Gmail is just going to provide all that data automatically for you. And when you scroll over somebody's name, you're going to see everything that you need to know about them if you're paying for Google CRM. The really cool thing, though, is if you get into a world where there's intelligence now in the CRM, you can imagine asking Gemini about a person and what their history is. And you can have all that information inputted right into Gmail when you write and draft emails. And the last thing about that's really cool is if that becomes true, if Gemini is integrated with Google and HubSpot in a way that's really powerful, now you get to this point where your intelligence is actually like way expanded beyond just like what you can query. So imagine you are your salesperson and your typical motion when you are selling is you go find the person, you research them on LinkedIn, you take notes about them, you reach out, you schedule a call, you get on that call, and then the call obviously is recording, it takes notes. Afterwards, there's all these follow-ups you have to do. After the follow-ups, then you have to send an email to them. If they don't respond, you got to remember. And a lot of the times people are doing all these actions manually. And just as an example, like when I reached out to Ben recently, I had to snooze the email to remind me to come back to in 3 days. So all that, if you think about it, every one of those components can now be automated inside of Google if they land this plane correctly, obviously. I've been talking for a while. I'm going to get off my high horse for a second. But this is all to say I am extremely bullish, and I think it's really great. And that's also not considering the fact that if they pull over HubSpot, not only would have the boost from intelligence and G Suite, better ad revenue, but HubSpot is built entirely on AWS. So imagine the boost to the GCP business if they can just plop HubSpot right on GCP.
It's a lot of stuff. And I think that's, for me, the challenge is it's a lot of, if all these things go right, then this is a good idea. And in a lot of ways feels a little like galaxy brain like strategy versus simple A plus B equals C type stuff that it feels like it makes sense. Penelope, I'm curious, as you've dug into this or looked at it, what were your takes on this?
Based off of what I read, I think Austin, you just went into a lot more of a deeper dive detail, which is helpful. I've used Salesforce and very lightly on HubSpot, and I know that's one of the main competitors, right? And Salesforce is an absolute beast to set up. I would imagine HubSpot is a little bit more simpler. And also, as I understand, HubSpot's a lot more in the SMB space and opens up a whole new opportunity for Google to develop those relationships. I was interested in this, actually. I hadn't fully appreciated the full automation piece of the G Suite and including everything. I do a lot of those things manually, even in a non-sales process, even with vendors, as an example. And could apply that. Yeah, I was actually really interested in hearing your take, Fareed. You were sort of like, I don't get it. And it's coming from the A plus B equals C thing. What are the biggest risks do you see that would make this sort of go sideways?
Yeah, I think the first is just, we've seen a ton of acquisitions go sideways from a regulatory perspective recently.
Yes. Yep.
And so I think if you're Google, Facebook, Amazon, any of these like really large, well-known tech behemoths, every acquisition you do has to be like really well reasoned and has to be really important because the cost, time, and energy of closing is so meaningful. Even just look at Adobe and Figma, right? Adobe is not as regulatorily scrutinized as Google, et cetera. And that's an obvious 1+1=3 type acquisition that makes a lot of sense. That's like hurting, probably chewing away Adobe's business pretty meaningfully and didn't go through. Now that I say that out loud, I wonder whether that's exactly why this kind of acquisition makes some sense, because it's not obviously consolidation in the core business, but rather, hey, we're just like adding another thing.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Like this might be a wolf in sheep's clothing type move. They can play the position that, hey, we're competing with our biggest competitor,
yeah.
Microsoft. Right. This is not a monopoly business. This is a three-player business or whatever.
But the benefit they have, though, is one, again, they can pull all that spend from AWS onto GCP, hurting Amazon, which is great for them. And then two, they can help their ads business, which neither of their competitors can do.
Yeah.
So I think if regulators look at it from the perspective of a direct competition to Dynamics, I actually don't think they would have a lot of scrutiny. The trouble, though, the political landscape is really rough on them. They have both Democrats and Republicans scrutinizing them for different reasons. There's also this question, even if they do get it through, does Google really get enterprise software? Google Workspace is like their only vertical SaaS app. And even in the best of cases, M&A is really messy. And you can wonder, will HubSpot stop innovating after this?
So that was my second question. Google does not seem to get enterprise go-to-market and all of the things that are important for that. Now, to be fair, HubSpot is not exactly an enterprise company. They are a mid-market and SMB company. It is deeply ingrained in their DNA. And I think every single one of these consumer social companies is secretly an SMB mid-market enterprise company beneath the hood, right? Facebook's revenue comes from selling to small businesses and large businesses, but lots and lots of small businesses. Google's revenue, what they sell as a product, is ads. And they sell ads to the same exact people HubSpot sells CRM to, right? Yep. Effectively. A lot more of them, but the same market. Local businesses, small internet businesses, tech companies, services companies, et cetera. Like the same people who do inbound marketing, and now I'm starting to come up with new ideas here, which is what HubSpot was built on, are the same ones buying Google ads, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You just nailed the point here. Like I said before, 1.2 million businesses for Google ads, 200,000 for HubSpot.
Yeah.
One of the most obvious plays is, hey, can we deploy the Google ads Salesforce team to go sell HubSpot, right? And that might instantly...
Or integrate HubSpot purchasing and tracking directly into the ads flow.
That instantly throws off cash in my mind. But then again, I think if they can pull this acquisition off and if they can actually spend the engineering resources to integrate it tightly with Google Workspace, they redefine what the CRM means for a business. Because today we have this very concrete notion of CRM. It's a separate application. It's different from your email. But like all the building blocks are there. And I'd wanted to talk about this. Like when you think about a CRM, if you're a technical operator, you often think about, hey, what are the objects that go into a CRM? There's companies, there's contacts, there's people, there's tasks, there's meeting notes, there's calendar. Those are all the things that Google has. You have a contact address book in Gmail. And when you send emails to people, it automatically is creating people records for you. They have an object called tasks in Gmail. I don't know, a lot of people don't use it, but they could probably revamp that and link it with your HubSpot tasks. And now, when you have a task to do on something, you're staying in G Suite, you're sending emails and you're creating tasks, and those are getting linked to the right companies and contacts in your CRM. They already have meetings because they have Hangouts. Imagine if they just put AI behind Hangouts, and every time you have a call
on Meet now, account, Austin.
I'm sorry. It's the same thing with Twitter. I don't call it X. I'm not cool. And then Calendar is integrated too, right? They already have an integration with Google Workspace, but imagine how much richer it could be if all of the data, even like the undisclosed API data from calendar invites, are just natively embedded in HubSpot. And again, they have notes and docs. So imagine you go to your CRM and you create a note, and instead of some random object blob, you can just link it to a Google Doc.
Yeah.
This is what people do in CRMs, by the way. Like I remember back in 2014 at Branch, we set up a field in Salesforce called like account notes, and it had to be a Google Doc. So imagine pulling that natively into the CRM.
I think the other tricky thing here, and I'm curious, Penelope, maybe you've been through this with acquisitions, but I don't know, is there's this deep tension between the kinds of deep integration that would make this like a really gangbusters success story for Google and the benefits of having HubSpot, which is a very successful, very different culture, very strong company based in Boston too, operating independently as a separate organization within Google. And so I'm thinking a little bit like of YouTube, right? Which it, for many, in all intents and purposes, is a separate property, right? A separate thing, gets a ton of benefit from Google, especially around ads infrastructure. They got a lot around rights negotiation, those kinds of things early, that you could keep both worlds. It's like, it's a separate entity, but also we get all these benefits. And I think this one will be hard just because the DNA of what makes a, I'm going to call it enterprise software company, even though it's not exactly B2B software company hum and work, is so different culturally than what like makes Google work. That'll be interesting to see if they decide to suck it up into Workspace or GCP or one of these other business units, or whether it's going to still stand alone as a separate company and subsidiary. I don't know, I guess, how YouTube was originally.
That's really interesting. But I would imagine the innovation gets lost if you do potentially, if you do have it become all in one conglomerate approach, right? And culture is huge when you do acquisitions and protecting that and doing even the assimilation if that's the path forward. Alternatively, we probably wouldn't have as an amazing of an experience if you didn't bring it all into house and not have it operating as a standalone. That will be really interesting to see. I saw you taking notes, Austin, on that. I'm assuming this with ideas that came to mind. But I would imagine if we were to get the full power of this potential acquisition, we'd have to bring it into house quite substantially to start thinking about how it really truly transforms that CRM B2B experience while staying in G Suite at all times.
We've seen this play out in the market, not with Google, but with other companies. Look at Twilio and Segment, right? They kept that as a standalone business. And by all accounts, Segment has not innovated at all in the last couple of years. And is that a cultural problem? Is that an engineering problem? I'm just a big believer that if Google wants to make this successful, they need to think about how they integrate HubSpot directly into the rest of their products and make it a unified experience. If they keep it as a standalone, maybe they'll get some of those benefits that we talked about, like instant cash from pulling the sales team over, instant cash to GCP. But I think the broader vision, especially one that's AI forward, where you can talk to Gemini and it's helping you run your sales and marketing process and pulling attribution data, that requires like a dedicated engineering effort and probably a lot more investment actually than the acquisition itself. They probably want to retain really good talent and maybe supplement it with Google talent to think about a brand new platform that never before existed. I'll be curious once the news goes through when we hear about whether they're standing up a brand new team or just keeping it separate, because I think that will be a big indication to the market of whether you go running from HubSpot to a new tool or whether you stay locked in and keep investing because you know what's coming.
Step one of integrating HubSpot into Google culture is going to be renaming all their products three times. That'll be an important piece of the puzzle for them to like fully integrate. So that'll...
Reed, I want to get your opinion on something. I think that the potential for AI here is really outstanding. And I talked about a couple of use cases. Like, how are you thinking about this? And I think there's obviously an opportunity for enrichment. There's an opportunity to take action. But what was your instant response to this, thinking now about how Gemini could be integrated across the platform?
Yeah, I had the experience recently of setting up a new domain on Google Workspace. And one, Google Domains doesn't exist anymore. So I had to go to Squarespace, get the domain. Okay, I got the domain. I came back. I like set up my Google. And they did two things that I thought were really interesting. And this will come back to your point in a quick second. Okay. The first is they are very aggressive about selling you into their higher level plans in the flow. There was no choose your plan after the trial. It dropped you in a recommended that's like the second to highest one. I had to go into the dashboard and get it down to this $12 a month version. That was the right one for me, which I thought was very weird. But the second thing was they are pushing the Gemini add-on pretty hard in the new domain flow from the beginning. It's all over the onboarding. It's everywhere in there. So they are like pushing hard on Gemini as a Workspace type tool in G Suite. See, another thing they've named three times: Gmail, G Suite, Google Workspace, whatever the hell they call it now. And really integrating all of their business type tools into a single dashboard. So it's actually very annoying as a person who just wanted an email address, because like it's all together. It's okay, Gmail and calendar, which I expect, but it's Drive and ads and all this other stuff. There's 50 different tools in there. And Gemini is like really being pushed hard. So I think that's got to be a piece of the puzzle, because I think that was the other thing that confused me about this deal initially, was like, search is under threat. Gemini is their response to ChatGPT on the consumer side. It's really important for them to get it right. It's a lot of money and it's a lot of time and it's a lot of energy. So it's got to be a top three big bricks on the strategy board. And so my initial response was, they have all this other AI shit to deal with. That seems really important. They're taking a ton of heat. It seems slow. There's growing chatter that they don't have a wartime mentality around these things, that kind of stuff. That's all in tech press. So take it or leave it. And this workspace enterprise piece of the puzzle is de minimis. It's small in comparison to, what did you say, $250 billion of revenue on the ads business. So it seems they should be pointed there. That said, I think they need to make Google Ads really hum. So maybe this is defensive. Like, we need to add this AI stuff. We need to add CRM. We need to hold you on Google Ads because your business depends on it while we figure out the consumer side of the marketplace or something like that might be my take. So I took it in a little bit of a different direction, but my initial feeling is they're pushing hard on this, and why? Like, why does workspace matter to Google? And maybe this is an attempt to answer the question. Like, why is it important? It's because it's part of our SaaS suite for small, medium, and large businesses to be able to work more effectively with Google Ads Marketplace. Because right now, it's a big business for any other company, but for Google, probably isn't that big. It's maybe $1 billion in revenue ARR a year, which, just to be clear, massive for anybody else in the world, right?
Yep. It's funny, while you were talking too, I just realized one thing they could deploy Gemini for is actually the ability to help people use Google products. You were just describing the setup flow. You had to go get a domain, bring it over, integrate it.
Set up my Amex records, all that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And one of the things that we didn't mention, but is obviously on my mind, is like, what are the missing pieces around HubSpot that Google could build? One of the most obvious one is outbound prospecting and an outbound campaigns. Google is making a huge push to end canned spam. There's all these tools that are emerging that apply AI to outbound email automation and the warm outbound. Google is so well positioned to do that, because what do you do when you go set up something like outreach? You buy the domain, you set it up, you set up your MX records, you create multiple inboxes for your reps. Then you have to go apply the tool to create the language that you want to send. And guess what? You have to integrate Google Workspace anyways, because they want to learn how your reps are talking and what the sales pitch is. So I was just thinking, imagine when you set it up, you could not only tell Gemini about your business, but you could ask it, hey, go set up these MX records for me. Go set up these tools for me. What are the settings in Google Workspace I want to change? So they could actually, I think, do a much better job of applying AI to actually run the CRM, which would be really interesting for the RevOps community, because just speaking from experience, at Ramp, we had a team of 10 people, 12 people managing the CRM. And I'm just thinking to myself, imagine if Gemini could do a lot of that work and help reduce a team from 12 to 3. You say, hey, Gemini, update the contact record of these people this way. Hey, Gemini, update the CRM objects to include this new set of parameters. Hey, Gemini, send an outbound sequence from these three people. And guess what? It comes directly from Gmail, because everything's integrated into one.
Who's worried about this? Who is this scary for?
I think it's scary depending on how well they execute. If they execute in the way that we're hoping and dreaming, I think it's really scary for Salesforce, because they are falling asleep at the helm. I stole that phrase from somebody on X. I can't remember who it was, but they had this great infographic that basically showed how multiple horizontal app components, so like Outreach, Gong, they're all moving towards the CRM. And what has been stopping them is, again, this integrated solution that we talked about. This is the dream of having all these things unified. So if Google executes, I think this is not great news for Salesforce. And also probably not great news for all the small CRM vendors out there, because they're just never going to be able to compete with Google if they integrate it and then deny integrations to the small guys, right?
Yeah.
However, if they can execute, I think this represents a really big boon to all the vertical SaaS players who are thinking to themselves, hey, how do we become a CRM? We just talked about prospecting, talked about Gong and auto-recording emails. All those people have the ability to become a CRM and maybe move into HubSpot's kind of shadow. If Google says, hey, it's going to be a standalone business, a lot of companies are going to say to themselves, great, HubSpot is dead. Innovation is dead for them. I'm going to start looking for replacements, because I know in 3 years, this is going to be an outdated and unsupported product. Google says, no, we're going to integrate it tightly with Google Suite, and we're going to have everything on one, and there's going to be both massive features and benefits and cost savings if you do it, then that's going to make the market really tough for everybody else, because everybody, almost all businesses, especially in the Bay Area, are on Google Suite as their primary kind of source of truth for email. Do you think startups still try other CRMs other than HubSpot?
It's been a while since I've been a startup stage myself, so I can only put myself out there. HubSpot's really well known, and that's like the golden standard to start off with. I think there are a few other smaller ones, as you mentioned, but I think it'd be very interesting if they now start to have that At least in my experience, you typically start with a CRM. At some point, you outgrow it, and then you need to upgrade to more of an enterprise suite. I don't know. I think this sort of creates a little bit more of a stickiness to stay with HubSpot as you go through the transition and growing, while also not losing any of those additives around marketing, targeting, and you can continue to build on such a strong foundation versus having to restart once you hit a certain ARR and have to revisit building it up ground up with Salesforce over a year with multiple solutions, engineers helping you to set that up properly.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing about Salesforce, and maybe this is, I don't know a ton about them. I left Slack well before the Salesforce acquisition, so I don't have any internal understanding of the place. But from the outside, it very much looks like what I would call a multi-company suite, not a multi-product suite, in the way that like HubSpot is very much a full stack integrated and bundled multi-product suite, right? They have the same sort of this hub, but I think they've worked really hard to make the different products interact and work with each other, where if you use them all, it's all in one. That has always been their ethos. And they can do that because they serve small businesses, and small businesses will trade off integration for depth of configurability, customization, all the like depth of feature set, et cetera. And I think that makes a lot of sense, and it has been smart for them. Salesforce, on the other hand, their acquisition strategy has been buy a company, integrate the Salesforce, but everything else is like its own freaking thing. MuleSoft is separate from Tableau. Tableau is separate from the clouds, or whatever they call them, marketing cloud, sales cloud, et cetera. Slack is separate, et cetera. And there's light integration. And what they've lost is this, is if Google could do even more horizontalization, basically take HubSpot's strategy and run it across email, which they could never build themselves. HubSpot's never going to build an email client.
Exactly. And even if they could, it would never compete with Google, because Google just dominates that market along with Outlook.
Yeah. And I could see how that starts to chip away for Salesforce. I think they're probably the one who's like, going to lobby Congress the hardest to block this.
Oh, I know. I was just saying, like, I wonder what the responses will be. And it's funny you mentioned Salesforce's kind of like acquisition strategy, because some of what people think is going to happen with Salesforce is they're going to bring the CRM into Slack. So like Slack becomes your central source of truth. Everybody remembers the good old days where you type /troops and then you get a bunch of CRM record data right in Slack. Yeah. That integration effectively will be native, and you can imagine they can integrate it with AI, and you can start asking questions in Slack, and then it will pull from your CRM and answer them. But again, the missing piece is the actionability. You know, Slack only represents like a small piece of actionability for a sales and marketing team. Speaking as a co-founder, we get a lot of leads and records from Slack communities. One of our strategies is to deploy ourselves to as many communities as possible. You get, obviously, connections from that, but there's not a lot you can do. You basically have to pull the CSV records from Slack and then put them in the tool for actionability. The actionability piece with Google is like so powerful. You can imagine you don't have to do anything to send an email. Gemini will just help you. You don't have to do anything to create a calendar invite or send a note or craft a doc. So I really think that is like Slack's and Salesforce's biggest disadvantage, is that they haven't really integrated these tools in a way to take advantage of the unified platform. And we're in this era where every single sector of software solution has been solved to some extent. Everybody talking about the Parker Conrad model of a unified platform, horizontal expansion. He did it really well because he started from ground zero. But I think these big players can also come up from a top-down approach and say, hey, maybe the right move is not to buy a company and let it be a standalone business, but to double down and spend a lot more money to make it unified. Again, back to the economics of the issue, like $250 billion is the ad revenue business. So even if they pay a premium, say it's $50 billion, That's nothing for a $250 billion business, especially if it helps convert more businesses to Google Ads.
Yeah. At the simplest place, I think the thing I've learned here is it turns out if you peek under the covers, even just one layer, which maybe I hadn't done before I looked at this, Google Ads business and HubSpot have the same customer base. I think that's like the really the step one insight that's important to understanding this acquisition, right? Step two, I think that you're saying here is that by more deeply integrating CRM into ads, that makes the ads product deeply more valuable and it makes the CRM product more valuable, right? Because now I have full flow information from visit through to click on both my SEO and SEM type traffic through in much, much more clean and integrated ways. Maybe the Google Analytics piece is solved. GA4, I have not used it much, but I hear is not very good. And maybe by integrating with CRM, it gets better. And then third, actually, there's a whole nother angle, which is by integrating CRM into Workspace. So Gmail, Calendar, Docs, etc., there's an opportunity to like really run the table across on customer communications, customer outreach, customer automation, AI, etc. I think that that's what I'm taking away from this conversation. And that if you're Salesforce, you're probably going to try and make this not happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Get ready, regulators in DC. And a good summary too, which I think is useful, is like at the end of the day, all M&A comes down to execution, right? Mm-hmm. And everything we talked about today is lofty in the sky, dreaming, which is what I love to do with this stuff.
Have either of you been parts of large or small acquisitions? And I'm curious what lessons you learned in that process, either on the buy side or the being bought side, on what makes these things go well or not well.
Yeah. Penelope, have you been part of any acquisitions?
I've been part of quite a few on the buy side. So buying and integrating, pre and post sort of acquisition and integration. What I've seen work really well is something we touched on earlier, which is finding a company who has a similar type culture, because that cannot be understated. If they are polarizing and at very different ways of operating, I think that can make or break how an integration goes post-acquisition. I think making sure that both parties are super clear on what are the desired outcomes of said marriage together and what are we going to get, and continue to repeating that in every single opportunity throughout the acquisition makes a huge difference in terms of once the deal closes and then how the two companies get to action. Whether or not you are standalone or integrated is an interesting one. I think there's a variety of reasons of why you may want it to stand alone or not. But what I've found is when you do stand alone, you, and I guess what we try to do at some point, and it's in my prior company, is we tried to have standalone, but then also have shared tooling. And even that created this huge rift amongst companies, right? We were G Suite, they were Outlook, we use Zoom, they use, actually, it wasn't even Google Hangouts, it was something else. And we had
like BlueJeans or like,
yes,
WebEx.
Oh gosh, yeah. BlueJeans, now we're going back.
We had a battle of tools. We had a battle of tools, and we couldn't even agree on that, which was how we would communicate, right? And so that actually deterred a lot from get off the momentum of closing said deal and getting to the fun part of working together. We ultimately landed with sharing some and then agreeing that we could also be separate. Salesforce actually was a really interesting one. We had two separate instances and kept them separate for the longest time. And then whether or not you're standalone, and perhaps there's a product that can stand alone and has very little reason to actually be integrated, which is what one path I saw. And I think that worked out for the better. It can go really well or really little. And you can also cap whether or not you realize any value from said acquisition by making some of those mistakes. Ideally, thinking ahead of this before the deal closes, too, I might add, is something worth doing. And it really felt like we were thinking about it real time as it was happening. But those are some of my earlier observations. I'm interested in your both of your thoughts there, too.
Yeah. So I've never been part of a really big acquisition. The only, I would call it like pseudo acquisition I've been part of was back in 2017. I had built a small consulting business and that got acquired by mParticle. And the hardest part was transitioning customers. That's what I remember, at least, was how do you communicate the message to customers? How do you convey that their business is safe and to trust in you? And that's what I keep coming back to with Google. And we talked about this, so it's maybe beating the point a little too much, but there's going to be a signal pretty soon. If this goes through, Google is either going to talk about it being standalone or talk about how it's integrated. And that's going to convey a lot to the operators of HubSpot's CRM business. Because what you have to consider too, there's a lot of small businesses out there that are operating HubSpot and I wouldn't say don't know what they're doing, but they're like flying blind. But then there's a lot of sophisticated businesses who have folks with RevOps experience and sales and ops experience. And they're going to be looking at this strategically and saying, okay, I need to protect the best interests of my company, not just play around here. So I just keep coming back to how is Google going to message? What are they going to say? How are they going to protect the interests of small businesses and these medium-sized and like pseudo-enterprise customers? And then I think the last thing too, just thinking Penelope about everything you said, is I think to some degree, having an opinion about how to integrate the two companies is a really important factor. And that was certainly the experience that I had at mParticle is if I was trying to bring my cultural norms and tools and force them upon the people I was working with, especially being the smaller player compared to the larger acquisition company, it's just not going to work. I had a couple of bullets to fire if I wanted to drive change institutionally, and I had to use those very carefully. So I'm also thinking about the founders of HubSpot and maybe some of the engineering leaders and the people who are there. They're not going to necessarily have the ability to change Google. Google is a much bigger business. And so if they do go after the integration play, hey, let's integrate HubSpot very tightly with Google. I'm thinking about all those employees and considering, hey, what are the lessons, tools, cultural norms, the things that they really want to bring and maybe make Google better from that versus what's going to get all left behind.
Yeah.
There was a really good podcast with the CTO of HubSpot recently, and he is effectively the kind of the driver of a lot of HubSpot's great culture. So I'm also thinking about, hey, maybe that's one of the bullets they pull. Is they're like, hey, how can we keep some of the most important elements of HubSpot's culture and integrate that with this new cloud enterprise unified CRM business that they might be building?
The hard thing is that if push comes to shove, the culture of the larger organization always wins. And that's because cultures are a function of power and a function of number of humans, right? Yeah. At the end of the day, right? And I don't know. I was part of a relatively small acquisition in Dzinga, and we were a small game studio. We'd built some semi-successful games, but nothing quite as successful as Dzinga. And our CEO at the time's message to us was like, they're bigger for a reason. Your default should be like, do things the way they do it. But they bought us for a reason. They want us to think differently and do different stuff. But like, your first instinct should be their way is right, and let's figure out why it works and what's right about it versus rejecting it all, because it's all going to feel very foreign.
Yeah.
And it's like a human body, like just if you add an organ in, like the default is it's going to get rejected. So like you have to work hard at that. I think it will be hard for HubSpot as a company that has a really distinct culture, has invested tons of time, energy, hires and fires based on it. Just we used that startup shared like WeWork type space with HubSpot. And it was like living upstairs from a cult. It was like very weird. Like it was such a distinct culture even from the beginning. I didn't even understand what they did. It took me like a decade to understand what HubSpot did. I made games. It wasn't my thing. And I think that will be very hard because the politics of Google are going to win. Look at Slack and Salesforce. We've seen almost a full turnover of the executive suite of Slack, a company with a very strong, very distinct culture, with a very successful product, now has a CEO, CTO, head of customer, CRO, everything. Like the whole leadership team is Salesforce people. Even a company like that. So it's going to be very difficult. I think your advice to people, which is you have very few "you bought me for a reason" bullets. Like they get beaten by the "you bought us for" "you're the buyer for a reason." Yeah. And you have to like work on the assimilation part.
Yeah. And that's where I think, again, if the HubSpot executive team and those founders are really aligned to this vision of building something much bigger than HubSpot could ever be on its own, it could be incredible. Like, it really could transform what we think of as CRM. One thing we didn't talk about, which I'm curious to get your thought, because it came up in the Reforge partnership network was this idea of the personal CRM. There's tools like Clay.earth. And we didn't even talk about that. Is imagine the CRM for the person. We've been talking about B2B this whole time, but there's also a world where they could slice off a version of this and make it available to your personal Gmail. And now you have all the information that you want in your life in one spot with the ability to enrich, right? We all send emails to people. We all are trying to talk to folks and we need a central place to customize our records of humans. And there hasn't really been a good tool for that. Like I was talking to Casey Winters about all the ways you try to manage your personal contacts. This comes up every week. Like we all have different tools to manage our calendars, different ways of managing our personal relationships. There's no good tool for me to go, hey, find all the people that I know and want to catch up with in San Francisco this week.
Yeah.
That's another piece of this too that I think is really interesting is it's not just like, what does HubSpot bring today, but what can that founding team along with Google envision is possible now that was not possible before by having these disparate entities?
I'm just laughing because I can start my family drip campaign to convince them to all go on holiday in the next year. And I'll just sit back. I'll tell Gemini to start using really nice photos, paint the scene, and I'll just wait until everyone books their flight tickets.
Man, Penelope, I'm so glad you brought that. I've dreamed of a solution that would allow me to automate text messages. I know this is like terrible to say, but I'm like, I know everybody's birthday. Do I have to wake up at 6 a.m. at the birthday?
Having
text?
Been on the receiving end of your sales and outreach type emails, I'm in no way surprised that you're the kind of guy that wants to automate birthday text messages.
Oh my God. It's just imagine all the things. Like, you know, you're going to the city, you want to catch up with people. This is more of an Apple thing, but can I just tell iMessage? Can you just text all the people I know in San Francisco that I love that I'm coming? I had to do that all that work manually.
Did you guys see this thing going around that was like the couples Notion doc thing?
Oh yeah, I saw that
going around Twitter.
I have not seen that.
Somebody was like, my partner and I like run our household in Notion and here's my template for it. And it got dragged pretty hard. There were people who did, two people who didn't. I was just going to say, I don't run my family on Notion and I don't want to automate my text messages. So I don't need a personal CRM, but that's because I'm a mess. But some of the more structured, organized thinkers maybe do. We tried to set up a family Slack once, but it never really stuck.
Yeah, I feel like you should maybe just use in real time human communication for your partner, not Notion or Slack.
Yeah.
Unless you're looking to get out of that relationship pretty quickly.
Yeah. My son said the funniest thing when we set up this family Slack, because it was before they had phones, so they didn't have like iMessage and stuff. He goes, I don't get it. Slack is just a weird copy of Discord. I was like, it's literally the opposite. Oh, children. One quick closing thought, because we talked about cultural integration. I wonder if the right solution here is not to have HubSpot be its own thing and get to maintain its culture, but let HubSpot take over a big chunk of this. Yeah. So the leadership of HubSpot, probably not ads. They're not going to let them take over ads, but maybe they take over all of Workspace.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the right way to make this really hump. Because the more I think about it, the more I'm like, it'd be real sad for HubSpot's culture to get fully extinguished. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be a loss for Google. So like, how do you set this up to make it successful? And maybe it's one of those like reverse merge, like the new guy's taking over the other thing, not the other thing is sucking up the new acquisition.
Yeah. And it makes a ton of sense too when you consider like Google Workspace feels like one of their most neglected platforms. There's just so much that they could be doing with Gmail that it feels like they're not doing. We even talked earlier about, hey, what are all the things that don't come with HubSpot that you could imagine or envision in Gmail? And sequences is one of them, right? They just released this ability to do like a little mini mail merge in Google. And it's, to be frank, it's like shitty. I'm just like, yeah. I have to put an unsubscribe link and all this other crap. It like doesn't work that great. But imagine if you could build the sequencing object inside Gmail, that would have to come from the HubSpot engineering team. Man, that could be like so cool to just think about what those engineers dream up.
Yeah. Wow. I hate that we're near the end on this, because I think this unsolicited feedback on Gmail for both domains and individual, I think is actually a very good topic. My thinking on why Gmail is the way it is because it has no idea who its customer is, because its customer is everybody.
Everybody. Yeah.
And it started as a consumer email product, and the business email product is just the consumer email product email addresses, add a domain, basically, little bit of other stuff. And I think that's just, that's why other tools exist, or why people who use email like tools like Superhuman or add on all these outbound tools, do all these weird integrations, et cetera. I have a very simple problem, which is I have 150 people in a class that I'm running for Reforge, and I need to email them once a week. And that list may or may not change, et cetera. No good way to do it. I can make a Google group, but that's not exactly right. Yeah. I can BCC everyone, but that doesn't work over a certain size.
Like, what you can do, and again, this is where I think HubSpot could be amazing to help them, is you go into contacts, you take all the CSV emails, you create a group in your contacts, and that effectively is a list object. And they have lists in HubSpot.
Right.
This gets back to the technical aspects of, hey, actually, Gmail and G Suite is totally set up object-wise like a CRM. They just need to connect the dots between these things. They need to say, hey, when you create a HubSpot list, that list is immediately available in your G Suite Gmail. And when you type Reforge Spring 24, it pops up with all the people from that list.
Right. I think they need to decide who it's for. Is it for salespeople and outbound communication? Is it for internal company communication? Because if it's for internal company communication, they have a ton of work to do in terms of organization, et cetera. Is it, it's just, it's lost in the ether. And I think maybe this can solve that, which is think about email as part of the operating system of how a company runs and have it be a much more integrated piece. An operating system, not just for internal communication, which I think, again, is Google's blind spot. They forget that people make money on email. And you need to be able to follow the money through the email in order for it to be useful. Yeah.
Maybe they need to skin a new version of Gmail with all these features we're talking about and be more explicit in segmenting Gmail for the actual customer they're trying to serve. But again, to your point, what would help that the most is taking the people who know CRM and sales and marketing management and putting them in charge and giving them permission to create a version of Google Workspace that solves this discrete customer problem.
Yeah, super interesting.
And exciting. I got excited. Yeah, I started off maybe a little bit between you, Fareed, and Austin, and ultimately a little bit less informed, but now I'm convinced this must go through. They must have the leadership team play a larger role, take over G Suite, because it could have a massive impact and change how we work.
I'll state for the record, I'm not a HubSpot shareholder, but now I'm feeling like I should go become one.
They probably got a bump on the rumor, but who knows?
Yeah.
Hey, I am also not a HubSpot shareholder, but just is a great example of a long-term compounder and like how a business that focuses really effectively on a very specific customer ICP that's relatively ignored elsewhere, you actually make market. You don't just capture market, you actually make new market. The market for SMB CRM is bigger because HubSpot exists than it would have been if HubSpot didn't exist, if that makes sense. And they've just shown it by slowly but surely compounding their way to over $1 billion in ARR over a relatively long period of time. It would have been a great buy. Had I understood what they did when I sat one floor above them in Boston in an office, but understood nothing about it.
Funny.
Just thought there were a bunch of weirdos who wore orange.
Guess he's laughing now.
I know. All right. Austin, thanks for joining for this.
Great meeting you, Austin.
Yeah, great meeting you, Penelope. Thanks for all the thoughts, too. This was awesome.
Thanks for listening to part one with our special guest, Austin Hay, and guest Penelope Talbot-Kelly from DoorDash. In part two, which will be dropping in just a couple days, we dive into another pretty interesting topic, and we talk about the documentary on Netflix, The Big Vape, about the rise and fall of Juul, and try to break it down, learn about the history of that company, and also apply the lessons for people building other kinds of companies. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you in a few days.